For a while in 1971, this was the most famous advice in the world, and it mentioned growing old.
Take kindly the counsel of the years, gracefully surrendering the things of youth. Nurture strength of spirit to shield you in sudden misfortune, but do not distress yourself with imaginings. Many fears are born of fatigue and loneliness. Beyond a wholesome discipline, be gentle with yourself.
You are a child
of the universe. No less than the trees and the stars. You have a right to be here. Whether or not it is clear to you, no doubt the universe is unfolding as it should.
The advice from the desiderata was on toilet doors and walls throughout New Zealand once upon a time. Speaking of things we used to have in our houses, which we'll discuss after 10, contrary to the impression you may have of Les Crane with the beautiful voice from that reading of it, he was quite a radical and feisty broadcaster, and he'd been a jet pilot in the Air Force. Anyway, a lot of people must have taken that advice about gracefully surrendering the things of youth to heart. But what if you don't have to gracefully surrender some of them? We've talked a bit about aging this year and aspects of inevitable cognitive decline and how to stymie that. But getting old or older isn't all bad. We've probably all seen the research which suggests we relax more in later life and find degrees of happiness that for many people disappeared in their 20s and 30s. And wait, there's more. Professor Dilip Jeste is a renowned neurologist and geriatric neuropsychiatrist. He wears several academic hats. And at the University of California, San Diego, he's developed one of the largest geriatric psychiatry divisions in the world. He's been president of the American Psychiatric Association. He's overseen editions of the DSM psychiatry manuals used worldwide, and he's the author of 12 books, most popularly Positive Psychiatry. Prof. Jeste has been running a study of 2,000 people, not just older ones, and his findings are encouraging. Professor Jeste, good morning.
Good morning.
Some things get better with age. Honestly, they do. Things like what, please? Can I ask you first?
Yes. For example, people develop better control over their emotions. They become less impulsive. They tend to become more compassionate and helpful to other people. There is also greater self-reflection, trying to understand why they did or did not do something rather than blaming somebody else. And in general, we all become better at doing whatever we have been doing. For example, if I've been doing research, I become a better researcher. If I'm teaching, then I become a better teacher. If I'm a journalist or reporter, I become better in those fields, so on and so forth.
I'll delve into all those areas as we go. They call you the wisdom neuropsychiatrist. I saw that label attached to you. What got you into these areas of inquiry? Because as a young man, I think your mates said to you, why are you going into geriatric psychiatry? It's depressing, didn't they?
Yes. My foray into geriatrics was somewhat serendipitous. When I moved from National Institutes of Health to University of California, San Diego, they were just starting a new geriatric psychiatry program and asked me if I would direct it. So I got into geriatric psychiatry accidentally. However, I have stayed in that field because I really love it. My friend said, why are you doing that? Geriatric must be so depressing because aging is all gloom and doom. Everything goes down with aging. Physical health, cognitive function, there is depression, there is dementia. And what I found was exactly the reverse.
Yeah, that's amazing, that exactly the reverse phrase. I can go back a bit, I think, because you found something interesting some time ago, I'm assuming, in your schizophrenic patients, that their symptoms improved with age. Did that tell you something? Did that surprise you?
That definitely was a surprise. So the notion has been there that schizophrenia is a dementing disorder, what we found was that as people with schizophrenia got older, they started doing better mentally. Their symptoms, delusions, hallucinations, became less prominent. They became more adherent to treatment. At least some people with schizophrenia get better with aging.
Yes, okay. So in lay terms, that suggested to you what? That the brain was adjusting how?
We wondered how come these people with schizophrenia actually improved mentally even when their physical health was declining with age. So one question was, is this something unique to schizophrenia, or is it something that we see in other people also? And we did a study called SAGE, Successful Aging Evaluation Study. This was a study of about 2,000 people in the community from age 20 to 100 plus. These people were selected randomly. So it was not a sample of convenience of people who are doing well. A randomly selected sample. And we have been following these people now for about 8-9 years. As people get older, their physical health declines. The surprising finding was mental health. As people became older, their well-being improved, their happiness level improved.
How do we know this? Is it just self-reportage? Is there a portion of wishful thinking in there? Is it acceptance, a kind of shrugging of the shoulders, a bit of resignation involved? Because you don't think it's just psychological, do you? You think it's biological.
That is correct. When we are talking about well-being, the well-being has to be subjective. Other people can't decide whether I'm happy. Only I can decide that. I may look depressed and yet be happy, or I may look happy and be depressed. So the subjective report is really important for assessing mental health because it is subjective by nature. But there was improvement in several measures of mental health, like happiness, satisfaction with life, also decrease in depression, decrease in level of anxiety, decrease in level of stress that was experienced by the subject. Subjective reports are not invalid. Subjective reports are important. There are several studies that have shown that subjective well-being correlates strongly with objective level of functioning of a person, and that even applies to community as a whole. So I don't think it is purely psychological, but it is biological.
What is wisdom? Because when you started presenting your observations to neuroscientists, they scoffed. They said wisdom is a philosophical concept quoted by religions, or maybe even employed by older people through the ages to still seem relevant. What is wisdom?
Wisdom is a personality trait, like resilience, optimism, but it is different from those in that it is complex. Self-reflection, control over emotions, empathy, compassion, altruism, acceptance of uncertainty and diversity in life. Even while you accept uncertainty and diversity, you need to be decisive when there is a need for that. And lastly, some but not all definitions include spirituality as a component of wisdom.
It's interesting you say decisive, because older people, I think, can be associated with indecision and uncertainty. And the concept of the grumpy old man or woman is well known. Older people have closed their minds off to new ideas and a new zeitgeist. So in some ways, that's counterintuitive.
Well, it is true that some people, as they get older, become grumpier. They become more rigid, more fixed in their ideas, and they don't accept diversity or uncertainty. However, majority of the people, as they get older, because of their experiences, they come to realize that any one perspective is not correct. So So they begin to accept uncertainty. They can accept the fact that other people may have other value system. So usually with age and experience, acceptance of uncertainty and diversity will increase, although, as you said, it won't happen in everybody.
Okay. But we don't get any brainier as we age. So why should we get wiser? And don't our brains shrink as we age? What's going on inside our brains that makes this possible, Dilip?
So one thing is that wisdom and intelligence are not the same. Clearly, you need to have average intelligence and reasonable brain structure that is preserved in order to be wise. But IQ and wisdom level do not always correlate. Some very smart people with high IQ are antisocial, they're sociopaths, and they cannot meet the criteria, even remotely, of wisdom.
I've read you say that the aging brain recruits other neuronal networks. Now, how does that work?
With age, the brain does shrink to some extent. The brain loses synapses, which has connections between neurons. The brain loses neurons, dendrites, axons, and so on. However, in people who keep themselves active, physically, cognitively, and socially, the brain continues to evolve. To give you an analogy, when I was younger and stronger, I could push a heavy cart with just one hand. Now, as I'm getting older and I have some arthritis, I can't push that cart with one hand, but I can do that with both hands, right? So with the two hands, I can now do what I used to do with one hand, but still I can do it. So in people who are active physically, cognitively, and socially, more parts of the brain get involved in that activity. For example, if some mental activity requires activation of certain region in only one half of the brain, as you get older and you stay active, you will have both halves of the brain in that region involved in performing that activity, but then you will do as well as the younger person did. So that is compensation for the loss of neurons and synapses by recruiting more neurons and synapses for that activity. But there is something even more exciting that happens in people who are active. There is formation of new synapses, new dendrites, and even new neurons in some regions of the brain. That is called the neuroplasticity of aging. And again, it doesn't happen in every person. It doesn't happen in every brain region. But it can happen, and that would help explain the increase in wisdom with aging.
Which is very reassuring. It's very heartening news. Speaking of regions, just about everything's assigned an area of the brain these days. The cerebellum when you're playing video games and the amygdala for emotions. And when I don't feel like going to work, it's because the anterior cingulate won't let me. It's kind of got to that stage. A little knowledge is a dangerous thing. So does wisdom hide in there anywhere in a special identifiable place, Dilip?
Yes, that's an excellent question. When we talk about localization of a function in a particular brain region, we have to realize that the localization is far from absolute. Different brain regions are constantly interacting with one another. For wisdom, like emotional regulation, empathy, compassion, self-reflection, and so on, the two main brain regions involved are prefrontal cortex and limbic striatum. The prefrontal cortex is the newest part of the brain in evolution, and that is what makes us more human. So this is executive functioning at a high level. The limbic striatum, or amygdala, is primarily associated with emotion. So wisdom, in a way, reflects a balance between the newest and the oldest parts of the brain.
What is the evolutionary advantage of wisdom as we age? Because it's almost seeming like a compensation mechanism to make up for our loss of youth and beauty and agility.
Yes, that is a very interesting question, and this is something I've been thinking about for a long time. As a geriatric psychiatrist, I was fascinated by the fact that the average lifespan has been increasing. it was 45 in 1900. Today it is over 80 and it will be 90 by 2050. Animals live only so long as they can contribute to the survival of the species by producing children.
Mm.
When animals stop producing children, when they become infertile, they are no longer useful to the species and they die. And that is what happens with most of the wild animals, not in humans. So if somebody lives to age 90, that means that person has spent half of the lifespan not contributing to the species survival. How does nature allow that? And there is indeed something called grandmother hypothesis of wisdom. According to this hypothesis, when grandparents help their children raise grandchildren, both the children and the grandchildren, they live longer, they are happier, and they are more fertile than the grandparents were. So the grandparents cannot contribute to the species survival by producing children, but they contribute to the species survival by helping the younger generations live longer, be happier, and be more fertile. And that is really this grandmother sort of transmission of wisdom from grandparents to children and also helping the species. And by the way, this is not some feel-good TV science. This is based on hardcore scientific studies that have been published in the most prominent journals in the world, such as Nature and Science. And this has been shown in dolphins, whales, some birds, and in humans.
Professor Dilip Jesta is with us on Wisdom and Aging. I think we love the idea of the grandmother hypothesis of wisdom. So what do we do about this? How do we implement this? Because societies in the West, and possibly not just in the West now, are tending more and more to dismiss the aged, neglect aging people. There's an awful lot of wisdom going to waste, presumably, Dilip.
That is very true, and that's very unfortunate. Old people all over the world, because of the ageism, they are thought to be not capable of doing things that they were doing when they were younger. And we lose the experience, wisdom, maturity that these people have, and that can actually be helpful for younger people. Intergenerational activities have been shown to be helpful not only for older people, but also for younger people. So we lose that. We have done the same thing, unfortunately, for women over centuries, that we thought, the society thought, that women were not capable of doing things that men were. And today we know that that's not true. So we really need to change the society's perception on not only on sex, but also on age.
Okay, so implications for future society, if people take notice of what you're saying. Our societies, it sounds to me, are completely out of kilter. We need to embrace age and include older people more on the whole life and structure of society.
That is really true. Over the last 2 to 3 decades, there have been major changes in the society. Globalization is one. The rapid evolution of technology is another one. And these changes have totally uprooted the social fabric. It has had several advantages and benefits, but it also has had downside. The downside now we are beginning to see in the form of increased numbers of suicides, increased deaths from opioid abuse, and increased loneliness. Studies have shown that loneliness has doubled in the last couple of decades. And that's true at all ages, from children, adolescents, younger adults, to older people. As a result, the average lifespan fell for the first time in 50 years. For 2 years in a row, the average lifespan in the U.S. has fallen. And it has not fallen because of cancer or heart disease. It has fallen because of suicides, opioid deaths, and social isolation and loneliness. So clearly we need to do something there. The values of wisdom need to be practiced at the societal level. There needs to be more emotional regulation, less impulsivity. There needs to be more empathy, compassion, helping one another, more self-reflection, more acceptance of diversity. If we do that, then the well-being will improve at all ages, and these totally avoidable deaths due to suicides and opioid abuse and loneliness will fall.
So your thesis is that wisdom can have a profound intergenerational effect and act as a kind of beneficial and psychological glue to make society function better.
That's exactly right. Actually, our very recent study found that there's a strong inverse relationship between wisdom and loneliness. So people who had high levels of wisdom were not lonely, and that also supports this idea that wisdom can be very helpful in improving the well-being, health, and longevity of the society.
Well, if you're right, your papers need to come out of the scientific journals, which they're now doing, and onto radio shows and media shows like this, and we need to be talking about it more.
Thank you. Thank you. It was a pleasure talking to you, Jim.
You too, Dilip. Thanks for your time.
Professor Dilip Jeste.